two primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't spare shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
You know, it's funny. Some of us will never, ever find true love.
Like, take, for instance, me. And I'm pretty sure that guy right there. And that lady with the sideburns. And basically everybody at table nine. But the worst thing is that me, Fatty, sideburns lady, and the mutants over at table nine will never ever find a way to better the situation. Because apparently we have absolutely nothing to offer the opposite sex.
And Scott are newlyweds.
Whoopity-doo! He loves her, but she loves this guy right here. And he loves somebody else.
So I think the first thing that we should discuss on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 200-something.
34.
34.
Two in a row.
Wow, we're rapidly approaching our 250th episode.
Woo!
Where will that party be? We said every 100 we were going to do a party after 2. So we have 50...
We have 15 more episodes.
56. 15
more episodes.
No, every 100. So at 300,
oh, okay.
We would do another party. So that's like...
We did with 200?
200, and then we said we would do one every 100 thereafter.
So we have many more to go.
Because we couldn't do 50, because that would be like every year, and fuck that.
Right. We have 70-something more to go.
Yeah, that's a long. That's at least a year. Start making your plans now, folks.
Assuming nothing else happens.
Yeah, yeah. Barring floods or other natural acts of God.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So the first thing we should discuss is we are getting some feedback about last week's episode.
Okay.
And we are aware of the technical difficulties. Thank you. We are recalibrating our new equipment.
Right.
To make this show the best available in this price range. So you just give us some time, and we do have new people working. I don't know if we mentioned this. We did lose a couple of people.
Well, there's always a few.
Yes, over the break. Mostly people in the product archive.
That's right.
Gave their life saving the product archive.
That's right.
But still.
I thought most of them were much better at navigating with rafts, considering. But not so much.
You are incredibly racist.
What? You're mine.
Incredibly racist.
I was just saying I thought they were all, you know, on the crew team in high school.
Yes, that's clearly what you meant. Not that they floated over here on an old sofa or something.
In the back of a pickup truck.
I did not
say any of those things.
In any event. So we want to thank everybody for their helpfulness in letting us know that yes, there are some issues technically that we're working on. But I think you'll see that once we have finished studio, which one is this?
This is
C.
Sure.
Once we have actually finished all the work in Studio C, you'll notice that the technical aspect, the polish of the show, will be back.
That's right.
And then, of course, Studio B will follow. We may be in Studio B as early as next week.
That would be nice.
So we'll actually see if that's going to actually.
Excellent.
Yes. Say. So, without further ado,
geek stuff. What's in the news?
Am I starting with the news? I forget.
That was the news thing.
No, I know it was the news thing. I forget. I feel like we forgot to introduce the show title. I thought we did that before the news stinger.
Oh, did we?
Can we take that back? Do we have a reverse
production? No, we don't have a reverse production
on
that.
We haven't worked on that
yet. We're lucky we have that piece of production that you just heard.
Don't we have some producer somewhere that's supposed to be working on production for us?
I don't know.
Friend of the show, maybe.
Oh, yes.
Maybe a producer. Maybe. Friend of the show.
Maybe you should.
I'll ask for a reverse production.
That would be funny.
All right.
I don't think you'll get it, but that would be funny.
Well, either way.
Either way.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, mm-hmm. episode 234, full of Sith and vinegar.
Yes, very well said.
Thank you.
The reason, of course, will become obvious in the news and so many exciting Sith-related things that we're going to be talking
sure.
about.
All right, why don't we go right into Geek Love? Because we teased it last week.
We did.
We said we were going to talk about it this week.
So
here we are.
I guess what had happened was...
What happened was... I liked Geek Love. Let me just start off by saying that.
I thought it was sad.
It was kind
very,
of sad.
Very, very sad.
It was endearing.
No, sad like
I felt like bad for Chewie.
Yeah, okay. And we'll get to that in a second. Without going into a giant review of the thing. So I guess what happened is when you registered for New York Comic Con 2011.
Right.
And you registered that you wanted to be part of the speed dating.
That's correct.
My guess is the producers of the show contacted you, talked to you about, you know, so on and so forth. And then I guess they sent cameras to follow certain individuals that at the event, the speed dating event, which they showed on the show, which happened in, this was all filmed at New York Comic Con this year.
That's correct.
Because we saw people that we know in the B-roll.
Sure.
But a lot of people we know were in the B-roll footage. So, and in retrospect, glad we did not participate in the geek dating.
Well, I mean, neither of us would probably be eligible, but we could have.
That's not the point. The point is that we were going to fake eligibility. Yeah. To go down and see what it was all about.
We were going to find one of our booth monkeys to...
Yeah, well, yes.
Go.
I don't want to name which booth monkey exactly we were going to send, but...
No, but, you know.
In any event, and thankfully we did pass on that, because, like, they were kind of dead serious on doing this and making it happen so on and so forth, and that's great, except for the fact that, once again, I think they took the negative stereotypes and exploited them.
Oh.
I think they took the most radical or the seemingly most radical people in the group and said, no, we got to put the Chewie guy on TV. And let's say, you know, the one girl in the episode who kind of, she made her own costume as a Wonder Woman, the one with the mother.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like the guy that she actually like, you
ended
know,
up with or whatever.
Ended up with or whatever, however it is we're phrasing that guy was pretty much, from my perspective, he was kind of a normalish sort of geek dude, but he was the only one, I think, out of any of them who was, I mean, the Harry Potter girl, like a little bit, and another girl kind of a little bit, but by and large, I felt that the ones that they focused on the most were the negative stereotype ones. The girl who had her own Mandalorian armor, the guy who had his own Boba Fett armor, the Chewie guy who's, you know, clearly, and these are, no one's saying these aren't great people. I'm not saying they're not great people, But what I'm saying is, in a show like that, where you're trying to promote the fact that normal geeks can find other normal geeks at this sort of event, and even the extreme ones can find the extreme ones, but when you only focus on the extreme ones, I think you do a disservice to the community.
See, I didn't really feel that way. I actually was happy that...
Oh, you were wrong then, weren't you?
Well, that's your opinion. I didn't feel that they exploited them. I actually thought it was pretty good. I got the exact opposite feeling from the show.
You did?
I did. I really did.
And this is not to say that I hated it.
Yeah, I understand.
I would just like it if they had done... Even if it was more of a balance. Yes, we have extreme chewy guy, but yeah, we have regular OG over here. Regular OG is maybe questionable.
No, I thought the one guy was pretty regular. And even the guy that was in the Iron Man armor, I thought he was pretty normal.
No, that's what I mean.
I thought female Robin that he ended up with,
yeah,
she seemed pretty cool. And but I guess when they scanned the room, when they did the group shots, right, most of those people, most, not all, were in cosplay. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they really didn't focus on any of the not cosplay people.
That's what
I will agree with that.
Right, that's kind of my criticism.
But I think from production standpoint and putting a show together standpoint, I think that the element of the cosplay added a level of interest to the show.
Right.
And I guess that could have been slightly a little bit exploiting, but I didn't feel like they made fun of anybody. Like they could have easily been much meaner to Chewie.
Right.
To the Chewie guy.
Right.
And I thought when it ended, I kind of felt bad for Chewie, not because they made fun of him, just because he's kind of a loser.
that's exactly it. Yeah, he didn't hook up with anybody and so on and so forth. But then why was there not enough successful things?
Well, I don't know.
That you have to show the poor guy walking out with his and he got the Hallmark.
Yes, I know.
Exclusives. And I was like, because I wanted that one. I didn't get it.
I'd have gone in there and bit an ass just to a bunch of people to walk out with an exclusive.
Yeah.
But that's terrible.
Just saying.
I think with every success, you need a couple downs. And he was really the only down. All the other ones were almost all successes. So,
I guess.
I don't know. I think it balanced out. I liked it. I don't know that it's coming back, but I'd be interested to see if it did. All right. Let's move past Geek Love and onto our next topic. Toy Hunters, which some of you may or may not know, is a show premiering on the Travel Channel this weekend, starring Jordan Hambro, who's someone me and Kev actually know. He's a dealer at a lot of these conventions that we go to. And this is pretty much kind of like American Pickers, but with toys. So what he does is he goes around to people's houses and he checks out their personal collections and he tries to buy pieces of their personal collections. I mean,
there are people that have a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? Like a lot of old vintage and like rare and, you know, test shots, that sort of
right.
thing. So he goes there and he essentially is doing exactly like Pickers, but with toys.
And then he's reselling them in some capacity.
Well, yeah, but it's just like he goes to shows just like we have encountered him for years. He's a dealer at shows. And for interest for you, the first person I think he talks to was like, I think one of like the lead guys on Mask.
Oh, nice.
So there's a bunch of Mask things, I guess, that they talk about.
I shall have to check this out.
Yes. it is Sunday, January 15th, 11 p.m. on the Travel Channel.
Eastern time.
Yes. And we encourage, well, check your local listings
right.
so that you find it. But we encourage everybody to go and see it because we want to get Jordan some good numbers so that this can continue.
Oh, absolutely.
And more importantly, that we can appear on the show. So, we're not vain here. We whore for a position on it for an appearance.
Do what you got to do.
I'm just saying. No, but in all seriousness, Jordan's a great guy. He knows more about toys than probably OG and I do put together. And this is the perfect guy for this show. So you're definitely going to want to check it out if you're a fan of toys, you're a fan of Pickers, you're a fan of that sort of genre. You want to check it out Sunday, January 15th, 11 p.m. Eastern on the Travel Channel. Check your local listings for when it's going to play on the Travel Channel near you. Now, if you're in Europe, we have no idea how you're going to get this show.
Good luck.
Yeah, that's what we say. We know our European listeners and listeners in Australia and a couple other places that are not in the U.S. that we actually have listeners.
Right.
Good luck.
Matt, if you're listening, Automatic Matt, get us some details.
Yes.
Or other Matt. Matt that lives in Automatic Matt's town and chops it.
That's true. That's true.
Give me some details. And, find out for us.
And yes, and with that, and now that we've talked enough about TV,
yeah.
Is there any actual news?
Well, there's always some news. You know, it happens. How about Thor?
How about Thor?
How about Thor 2?
Yeah.
Which we kind of talked about last week.
Okay.
There's a director.
Green Liddy. Uh-oh.
But
there's a director that's not Kenneth Branagh, I'm guessing.
That is correct. There is no Kenneth Branagh. But what I wanted to talk to you today.
Who's the director?
Alan Taylor. His acclaimed directorial credits for television.
Oh.
Include, boy. But listen to this list.
Okay.
Game of Thrones, Mad Men, Boardwalk Empire,
okay, so
and The Sopranos.
So he's fine.
So he's vetted.
Right.
You know, he's clearly done
his share
of at least good television stuff. Work.
Yeah, okay. So I'm not offended
he's
entirely.
He's handled the fantasy aspect
yes.
with Game of Thrones.
Right.
So I'm okay with this.
Okay. I wonder why no Kenneth Branagh.
Maybe he's ready to move on to
what?
I don't know. No, actually, in all seriousness, I thought I had heard he was doing another Shakespeare.
Possibly.
But I don't know what it was. Love's Labor's Lost, maybe?
He already did it.
Oh,
Cymbeline.
Something. I heard.
Can't be Titus Andronicus because that's been already done. Yeah. What else is in the Apocrypha? Troilus and Cressida.
Oh, God, no.
Some of the histories. Yeah. John the First.
Lear. Do Lear.
He's too young to do Lear.
He could direct.
He could direct it.
Play Lear.
Well,
he could direct Lear.
Name a movie he's directed that he hasn't been in. That's a Shakespeare and hasn't been at least.
I was going to say that that is definitely Shakespeare because he wasn't in Midwinter's Tale.
He wasn't. Good point. But that was a Shakespeare.
But not really.
But not really.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. How about Evil Dead? Because.
Really?
We need a remake.
No, a remake?
You didn't know that? That was a relaunch of Evil Dead?
No.
Oh, yes, sir.
Bruce Campbell?
No, sir.
Not good. That kind of flies in the face of what we heard with regards to Sam Raimi's desire to do another Evil Dead with Bruce Campbell.
And I thought Bruce Campbell was on board to do it, but apparently not as much.
Okay.
So there is a remake. It's been in the works for a little bit now.
We've been gone for a lot of it.
We have been gone for a long time. There is only one person currently scheduled. Or currently cast, I should say.
Okay.
Lily Collins in the role of Olivia?
The girlfriend?
I guess. Was that her name? It's been a while since I've seen Evil Dead
Probably.
1 or 2. Because to be quite honest with you, I don't often go back to Evil 1 and 2. Once in a while, I'll pop in 2. Hardly ever 1. The one I watch most often is Army of Darkness.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, just sure. Because. You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so you might know her from
90210,
Abduction, Priest, The Blind Side. I mean, she's been in a couple movies.
90210.
She was in a couple episodes of the new 90210.
Right. Yeah.
So there's that. How about Star Trek 2? Since we're talking about movies.
This could be exciting.
Do you watch Sherlock on BBC?
No, and everyone says I should.
Everybody, people have actually attacked me for not watching Sherlock. Well, actually hit me and was like, "You're an ass." And
I'm
still catching up on who. Give me
two things. One, it's set modern, which I don't dig because the movies are not, and I really like the movies.
Right.
So that's problematic for me right out of the gate. Number two, news on that show is that there may not be a season 3.
I think the first season is on Netflix now.
Yeah.
So
and they're in the second season.
Catching up on Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I will watch it.
They're in the second season,
right.
But I heard today, actually just today, I heard possibly no season 3.
BBC needs to make room
for
Red Dwarf. So
wow, if they cancel that, everyone's going to hate Red Dwarf.
I know. And Red Dwarf, you know, is actually filming. It's actually going to happen. It's like
season
filming
X.
Now. Right, exactly.
Is it actually? It can't be the 10th season, can it? Oh, yeah.
No, actually, I think officially it's the 8th season.
But they're calling it season X.
Yeah, I think that's more of a
tongue-in-cheek
kind of X.
What was the point about the Sherlock?
Anyway.
Star Trek 2 Sherlock
Benedict
connection.
Cumberbatch, who is B-A-T-C-H.
Yeah, Cumberbatch is fine.
Who is in the Sherlock.
Uh-huh. Who is he?
Is going to be playing the new Star Trek villain.
Yes, thank you. Who is he in Sherlock?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'll get that for you.
Shouldn't you have that information, sir, before
you know what? Look, I'm rusty. I thought I had it. I did some highlighting.
You know, just taking a few minutes.
I actually think he's Sherlock, to be honest with you.
Just taking a few minutes, sir, to put some show prep together. Listen. I'm just
saying. Yeah, he's Sherlock. That's what I thought.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's Sherlock. He's going to be the villain in the upcoming Star Trek II movie.
And what is the name of the villain?
We don't know still. There was rumor for a long time that it was going to be Khan, and then I heard someone somewhere, and I don't know if it was a joke, but I heard Harry Mudd seems so
comical villain.
But he also seems very kind of.
What? He did a couple of episodes.
I know, but he seems very kind of throwaway to me. For a movie, for a big movie.
Yeah, but not as the main villain. Yeah. I agree with you. It's kind of, he should be kind of like Scarecrow was in The Dark Knight.
Right, like he's kind of like the background villain.
He's kind of there. He may have something to do with the overall plot, but he should not be the main villain.
I would agree with that.
And, you know, and speaking of which, something else that started while we were gone was it IDW? I think it is actually doing Star Trek comics set in the new universe, but addressing the original episode.
Yeah, I've actually heard that some of them are really good.
They're really apparently they're really really good. So
well, they'll get collected eventually.
They are. Yeah, I was just about to say. I think the first collection is due soon. So
nice.
We'll be talking about that on this very program.
Most excellent. All right, one more thing that I have in the news, unless you have anything else.
No, that's
all right. Excellent.
Oh yeah, this.
Oh yeah,
I did some show prep today, sir. Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
All right. Do you want to go first?
No, go ahead. You go first.
All right.
I am going to. I'm going to step back and I'm going to say, okay, OG, this seems very important to you. I'm going to tell you to go right into whatever your story is.
All right, so this week, Star Wars.
Oh, OG, I hate to cut you off there, but that is the D&D intro music. I didn't do this.
This is unjust.
Well, I'm just letting you know that there is some very important D&D news, and I guess
bollocks.
Whoever's producing this show must have thought of that as well. So in the New York Times, the writer Ethan Gilsdorf says that players roll the dice for Dungeons & Dragons remake. Now, why this is painful...
I have many opinions about this situation here.
Is, well, essentially what they've done is they have announced the fact that they are now doing yet another edition of D&D.
Right.
And which would essentially be the fifth edition.
Right.
We have been following the fourth edition since its inception, since before its inception, really.
Did we start with the third edition?
We did, yeah, actually we did. But so we've been following the fourth edition in its entirety. We've covered almost everything they've come out with in the fourth edition. And now they are graduating to a fifth edition. But the reason is because they have taken so much flack over the fourth edition being dumbed down.
Right.
And being like a tabletop version of World of Warcraft or other video games.
We kind of said.
Which we agreed to. Now, this doesn't mean that we didn't love some elements of 4th edition.
Oh, no. We toyed around with
Eberron.
Yeah, yeah. Hello. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, and not to mention other things as well. However, the general consensus, and we said this too, was that it did take away from the role-playing aspect of Dungeons & Dragons.
Right.
A role-playing game.
Right.
So it became more about mechanics and killing than it did about role-playing. Well, now, in response, Wizards of the Coast is saying, all right, well, we're going to listen to the fans.
Right.
We're going to tell the fans, send us your ideas, tell us what you want in a D&D game, and they're going to somehow cull all of this together and make the fifth edition, which, if I understand correctly, will be the edition that they carry forward for some number of years, much in the same way they said fourth edition would be.
So that's where my criticism comes in. You know, growing up on D&D, I think I had Dungeons and Dragons, right? Redbox.
Right.
Right. Okay. And I played a little bit with that, but really the bulk of my gaming with D&D, I'm going to say, was AD&D.
Right.
Was Advanced Dungeons and Dragons.
Which essentially is, I'm trying to think, they were breaking down the editions in the Times article. So I'm looking for that. Keep going.
Okay. So Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, right? Just using my own frame of reference.
Right. So here's
started like
let me,
in the mid 80s.
Let me cut you off.
Late 80s.
Let me cut you off. It's been around for 38 years.
Overall.
Overall. And they list them in from oldest to newest.
Right.
Basic.
Right.
Advanced.
Right.
Advanced second edition.
Right.
3.0.
Right.
3.5.
Right.
And 4.0, which is the one we're in currently.
Do they give years, year spans?
They don't. They don't. But but I think when you started playing, it probably was advanced right before second edition started.
Yeah. I started playing with regular advanced.
Deities and Demigods, Fiend Folio.
Right.
Deities and Demigods with the Cthulhu mythos.
And it seemed like for a long time, it was a long time before they revamped it.
Right.
Which was good because we invested in books and all the you know, compendiums.
Paraphernalia.
And,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And quests and maps and
modules.
Modules and all, dice, right? All that stuff. Tons of stuff.
Crayons.
And then they threw it out, right?
More or less.
More or less. And they gave you a new edition. But that was after like
years.
It was after like 10 or something years of gameplay.
Probably even longer than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So since then, it was like there was a new edition. And
second
like
edition.
3 or 4 or 5 years later, there was another.
The worst one I have to say is 3.5 right. because that was, again, a response to all the flack they were getting for 3. They were like, well, we fixed 3 with 3.5.
So my issue with this is I'm happy that they're correcting it.
Right.
Bravo. You get a round of applause. My issue is that this is really a kick to the balls for the players because these books aren't cheap.
No.
Like the player's guide is like a $40 book, right?
Yeah.
And if you buy that nice set,
yeah,
it's like the player's guide, the DM's guide,
yeah,
and Monsters Volume One or whatever it is. You know what the set
and
I'm
then
talking
they,
about?
Yeah.
I mean, like, we're talking about people are like shelling out. And that was like a year ago or a year and change ago.
I think
we even gave one of those sets away on the show.
We did, yeah.
So
we've given away a lot of the books on the show.
But that's what I mean. Like, you're talking about people who are investing money after money after money
after then, year after year,
and you just kick them again, and there's almost no portability to the books.
Well,
there's portability maybe to some of the story, the backstory, the errata. You could certainly port the characters because they always provide you a way to sort of port your character.
Well, that's
but the
what
books almost become
useless
fond memories.
Yes. Well, here's my opinion on this: is that I hope that they understand that if they don't provide that link, they are going to hear it big time.
Of course.
From a lot of people, not just us specifically, which they will.
Right.
But, because, I mean, there are campaigns that have been going for a number of years on 4 and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's how that all said, and I hope they do all those things. That all said, though, the prospect of the fans sort of writing the next edition, which will focus more on role play and less on game mechanics and, you know, killing and less of translating Warcraft into a role-playing game.
Right.
If that's actually the case, and they are going to do like they say, they're going to be playtesting, they're going to be sending out rules stuff to be playtested in shops, just like the one that you shop in, probably,
right,
or I shop in, or the audience shops in. If that's actually the case, that could be really cool. And we're going to be part of that as well. In the next couple of days, hopefully before the next episode, we'll be providing a link on the website where you can go and you can send your information off to Wizards of the Coast.
Good.
And we're going to be as much of a part of the as much a part of version 5 or what have you, edition 5, 5th edition, as we were of 4th edition, in the sense that we want to be at the forefront of covering this, because this is essentially one of the, what would you call it? One of the pillars of our foundation of being who we are.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I mean, D&D was very important to me as a child and as a growing adult.
As an adult,
and,
right.
And as an now? Adult and yesterday.
Right.
And so I want to make sure that we as a voice, we as an audience,
we as consumers, that we have as much to do with the formation of this new edition focused more on what we want to see. I want to make sure that we're a part of that.
Well, we have to pose at least one question to Wizards of the Coast, because already, you know, it's like, it's, I
will
have to
halflings
say,
be in the launch?
I have to say that our fans are really an impressive group of people. We've been back literally less than a week, and it's like questions and emails.
Wow, really?
Like, do you guys know, where can I? It's like nothing for a while, like for a couple months after, and then right. It's like really kind of quiet. And then we're back 1 week, and it's already like
boom,
hey, boom, boom. Give us a break. But no, we encourage them, please. Call.
And speaking of
425-920-6050.
OG, you can't just blurt the number out.
I wanted to.
I have
it
to
out.
Introduce. Oh, there. This is, there's a formula to the way we do things.
You know, there's a lot of things we didn't do last week that I noticed. Like, we didn't introduce ourselves.
Yeah, well, that's true. Hopefully people that were listening were not listening for the first time.
Right, hopefully.
That said, OG, the GVM line, the Geek Voicemail line, allows the listener to call in, ask a question, give us a comment, be part of a contest, and so on and so forth. And they can reach us on the GVM line at
425-920-6050.
See, that's continuity. We need to get that back.
I see. Anyway, the question that's been posed to us that unfortunately I don't have the answer to, I don't know if you do, but a couple of you have asked already, is during this transitional period, right, between four and five.
Oh, for D&D. I thought it was about the show.
No, not the show. No, for D&D. During this transitional period,
yes.
Will new product continue to roll out?
For four?
For four, or will it, I mean, I'm assuming there's probably some stuff that was already scheduled.
Excellent.
That is likely to come out.
Excellent question.
But this could take a year and a half.
You know what? We will actually get the answer to that question for the next episode.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I can get the answer to that question. I'm going to go out on a limb and say probably yeah, because I'm guessing this is going to be a while before they're able to put this in any kind of purchasable
right
form.
and like I said, for those of you who don't know, because of what we do and the people that we know and the friends that we have, there's a lot of work that goes out that goes into putting out campaign books and modules and expansions and all that kind of stuff, and a lot of these things are planned like months, year in advance. So
right.
I'm guessing that there are things already in the works that are scheduled to come out
right
before this announcement was made.
I'm sure.
And probably possibly even before the decision was made.
Well, let's see if we can get an official position from Wizards of the Coast. I'm sure they'll give us one.
All right.
And we'll have an answer for that next week.
It's D&D Warriors that terrify. It's D&D.
And with that, OG, it is time for our first break. So we'll be right back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 234, full of Sith and vinegar.
Ahoy, hoy. Welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Today I'm going to talk about Star Wars The Old Republic. Although I've put a shit ton of hours into the game, this is not a full review. Just what I think of the game thus far. Star Wars The Old Republic, or SWTOR, is my first experience with an MMORPG. With most MMORPGs not going free-to-play until this year, the monthly fees had kept me away from trying these time-sucking, life-wrecking games. So like I told Hollander Cooper from Games Radar, I have nothing to base my opinion on except for my expectations of what an MMORPG is supposed to be. If you're thinking about buying SWTOR, ask yourself two questions. Do I love Star Wars, and do I love Mass Effect? But before you go running out and buying the game because that sounded like the perfect recipe for excellence, remember that this is an MMORPG. So while it's set in the Star Wars universe and has the Mass Effect dialogue trees, the good and evil responses, there's still those shitty quests of go to these four places, click on one thing, come back when you're done. But that's not to say the game is only filled with little quests. The Old Republic has a multi-act storyline that plays out over the course of your gameplay. And not just one plotline. There are 8 classes to choose from, each with their own storyline. Separated between Republic and Empire, there are 4 classes each. For the Republic, you have the Jedi Knight, Jedi Counselor, Smuggler, and Trooper. And on the Dark Side, you have Sith Warrior, Sith Inquisitor, Imperial Agent, and Bounty Hunter. And if your ears perked up because you heard Smuggler and Bounty Hunter and you started thinking Han Solo and Boba Fett, Yes, Virginia, that's exactly what it means. Down to the fact that while all classes get a companion to help in your adventure, the smuggler's companion will be a Wookiee. Fucking fantastic. So you pick one of these classes, play for 100 hours until you hit the level cap 50, then you can start a new character with a completely different story. Even if some quests are shared by multiple classes, a storyline from a Jedi Knight to a bounty hunter, they're gonna have a completely different start, completely different story, and completely different ending. But this is not Star Wars World of Warcraft. While the mechanics and interface are just similar enough not to be sued in a court of law, there are differences. The one thing about WoW is the large world that you can traverse. Running across from a forest to a mountain valley to a volcanic area, or walking into an area where you're immediately killed because you're extremely underleveled and have no business being there in the first place, or watching a group of griefers bum rush and destroy a lakeside funeral for an elf or some bullshit. The bottom line? None of these things happen in Star Wars The Old Republic. Because in SWTOR, each location is a different planet, and you're going to be on the planet you start from for a while. Then transport it over to another planet, then around level 20, you do get your own ship, and the game finally opens up. But you need not fear walking to the unknown. When traveling on your ship, you open up a star map. Each sector of planets is clearly labeled with what level you're supposed to be at, to even stand a chance of not getting killed in the first minute. So if you're really eager to check out Hoth, I think you have to be around level 45 or 50. So you can go there, but it's going to be a long, long time before you can defeat a Wampa. And finally, what really takes the piss out of this MMORPG classification for this game is since you're on this cleverly plotted out path, you may not see a whole lot of other people around. Depending on if a server is light with only 20 people online or heavy with 120 people, it's not rare to see only a few people passing by every once in a while. And while you're encouraged to group up into parties and have a bunch of players take on a quest, it's something you have to go out of your way to coordinate. Ultimately, this is the price you pay for having a strongly structured single-player storyline in an MMORPG. In complete honesty, this game did not have to be an online game. So despite the fact that Star Wars The Old Republic is not the amazing MMO that would finally dethrone World of Warcraft, it's a great game and I'm enjoying the hell out of it. It's only been out for a month, so who knows how the game will improve over the next year. But if you like Star Wars and you like Mass Effect, you're gonna like this game. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 234, full of Sith and vinegar.
OG, what did we talk about on this?
I wish. No, I don't wish.
No, we have way too much.
2 weeks in and we're like,
way too much to talk about.
No, we have a lot to talk about.
Geek Stuff, DVD news.
All right, yes, DVDs. I'm not going to go over what we missed in the last 7 months.
Okay.
just to put that
week
out there.
One.
Right, exactly. All right, no. Things that came out this week that you might want to check out. How about Boardwalk Empire, the complete first season on Blu-ray and DVD?
An excellent show. I don't understand why the first season just came out, because wasn't this the second season that just ended? I think it was.
Wasn't? I don't know. So I'm curious. I don't watch that show.
So. You should watch it.
You know what? I watched most of the first season, and I'm not going to lie, I got a little bored of it.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was a little
great.
Slow.
The second one is fantastic.
I'm looking forward to Game of Thrones. That's
did you? Yeah, I know.
My heart.
It has a sword in it. I understand. But did you get through the first season?
I did not. I got probably about a little more than halfway.
I would recommend you checking out Boardwalk Empire, finish it, and then do the second season because phenomenal. Second season, phenomenal. I don't understand why it took this long, unless I'm confused in some way.
Well, it's HBO. HBO is a little slow sometimes.
A year? It's usually they put that season out right before the next season starts.
I don't know what you want me to do.
Whatever.
All right. Also out this week, Moneyball. That Brad Pitt.
Well,
I heard it was actually
and Jonah Hill. Supposedly, yeah. Both of them could be nominated for Oscars.
So,
which would be weird. Jonah Hill being nominated for an Oscar.
I know.
Is like,
and then following it up with 21 Jump Street. So
yeah. Which, ugh. And what's with Jonah Hill and losing weight?
He's got that creepy skinny thing going on. What like
did
Al Roker?
I don't know. Did he do it?
He might have done surgery.
I don't know.
It was
what
pretty
he...
drastic. If he didn't do surgery,
I know.
Kudos to him.
Because he was in that babysitter movie.
Yeah.
One second, and he was like Jonah Hill. And the next minute, he was like, who's that guy in the commercial with the guns and with, what's his name? I can't. The other G.I. Joe guy. I can't
Word. His name. Also out this week, Scorpion King 3.
There was a two?
Apparently.
And was it Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
No, no, no. I don't know actually who starred in this one. I see that Ron Perlman was in it.
Oh,
I know, I think,
the mark of quality.
Yeah, I think Kimbo Slice was in it too.
Oh, my God. So,
yeah, a real winner. An Idiot Abroad, season one, also out on DVD this week.
Yeah, that's the Ricky Gervais thing.
Yeah, Stephen Merchant, Carl Pilkington.
Where they send their
Carl,
their dumb friend around the world, right?
It's so uncomfortable and funny at the same time. G.I. Joe, Series 2, Season 1. That's classic G.I. Joe. And this one you might actually be interested in.
Okay.
Dennis the Menace, Season 4. Are you collecting those? The old Dennis the Menace? The old black and white Dennis? I didn't know if you were a fan of that show or not.
I was, actually, when, you know, like I was 5.
Right. Oh, well, I didn't know. You have a...
Mr. Wilson!
You have an impressive collection.
I do. No, so, I'm not you know? Actually doing that. And really, on a show that old, doing seasons and not just a complete... In fact, I thought a complete had come out for that program.
You know, that could be, you know, one of those where they put out the complete and it's out for like 6 months or a year and then it gets yanked and they start doing it. I don't know why they do that sometimes.
I don't know.
Overall, you could tell it was a little bit of a slow week in the DVD department.
I know what's coming up is Real Steel.
Ooh.
So I'll finally get to see it. It's like Rocky with robots. That's what the review line is that
who
they're
is that
posting
great
everywhere.
Artist? Joyner. Something, remember the guy
who Eric Joyner?
Is it Eric Joyner? Oh, I love that guy.
The guy that does all the weird robots?
Yeah,
stuff?
Well, he's got like the Rock'em Sock'em robots with like donuts and like weird. As a matter of fact, there's a poster
on
of it
Big
in,
Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory in
yeah,
the
it's,
apartment.
It's,
yeah,
it's like that famous boxing painting, but it has the Rock'em Sock'em robots. Yeah.
Anyway, that's DVDs for the week.
Love that guy.
Geek stuff, comics, books, and graphic novels.
Comics to check out this week are few.
Okay.
Batman and Robin from the DC Comics New 52. This is issue number 5.
Right.
It continues the great Batman and Robin story. I have to say that I am not what you would call a fan of the Patrick Gleason artwork in this book.
Okay.
All right. Peter J. Tomasi is the writer, and I'm guessing that he continues to write here. And, you know, overall, I think I have to say it's like a blah medium book.
All right.
I think they're just playing up the fact that Damian is Robin. And if they want to do that, they should just give him his own book. Damian is Robin. Everyone goes
crazy.
That's
what I don't understand. They had this great opportunity. Why not just come out with Damian? You know what
I
mean? I
don't know, because he's not ready to stand on his own.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
Also in the blah, blah, blah category is Captain America, number 7.
Oh, you love it.
Now, what you missed while we were away was Marvel, after, what, 100 million years of numbering Cap, decided to restart Cap at number 1.
Right, much like DC did.
But they kept the original numbering on another book, and... all right, so let's be more specific. The book that has been going for years and years is still going.
Right.
Under a new title, Captain America and Bucky.
Okay.
Maintains the same numbering.
Okay.
They also started another book called Captain America, which they started at number 1.
Right.
They also did this with Daredevil.
Right.
Daredevil had a thing where he disappeared from the book, and it was Black Panther for a while.
Right,
Black Panther, the Man Without Fear, which continued Daredevil's numbering.
Right.
Right. But there was no Daredevil in the book. But then they restarted Daredevil at number 1. And now Black Panther, the Man Without Fear, or whatever the hell they're calling it now, still has the Daredevil numbering. It makes no sense.
That's weird.
What's important about this book is that Ed Brubaker is the writer and Alan Davis is the penciler. How about that name from the past? And Alan Davis has lost nothing over the years. It's still terrific, terrific artwork. And I'm really, really jazzed to actually sit down and read this, which I have not done yet. You can also check out Wolverine and the X-Men number 4. Now, in case you don't know this also, OG, while we were gone, X-Men had all this crap happen.
Right.
They split the team into two teams, one led by Cyclops, one led by Wolverine, technically Wolverine and Kitty Pryde. That's still the school.
Right.
And Cyclops is kind of the...
Field agents?
Yeah, kind of. It was. I believe the book was called Schism. I didn't read it yet.
Oh, yeah, that was the big crossover. Okay.
Right, right.
And what we have here is Wolverine and the X-Men, which is one of the two now core books,
right,
where he and Kitty Pryde, I guess, are the headmasters of the school.
Right.
And other characters that you know, mostly from New Mutants, are also kind of teachers at the school.
Okay.
It's very strange. It's good, though. I've enjoyed it so far, even though I don't know exactly how they got here because I didn't read Skizmo.
What's the big crossover that they've announced for next year now? Is it X-Men versus the Avengers?
X-Men versus the Avengers. Yeah. Who cares?
And that's some of the artwork I've seen. Some of the promo art looks okay.
It's just another Civil War.
Is that what it's going to be?
Yeah, some other character will die and blah, blah, blah.
I'll check it out.
It's just crap. X-Factor 230, I also picked up. I'm still reading this book.
I'll check it out.
What?
X-Men versus the Avengers. That must have been my subconscious speaking. What? I don't know the last
Marvel book.
I know.
Are you okay?
I haven't read a Marvel book in a long, long time.
X-Factor continues. It's issue 230. And X-Men Legacy 260, which was the old, I think this was this the old plain X-Men title? I can't remember.
Sure.
They've swapped so many times. So that's basically comics this week. You know, I have to say again how disappointed I am at both companies for feeling this whole need to renumber nonsense. I mean, they barely have any continuity anymore. We know Marvel has no continuity. So why bother renumbering except for one reason? Because you know so many people will buy a number one because the number one, it'll be worth money someday. No, it won't. Unless it's Batman number one and it's like 1938 is the date, it's not going to be worth anything. Why don't people understand that at this point? I don't get it. Wow. Dude, I have all number ones. They're useless. Guys are buying used comics by the box for $25 for a long box. It's retarded. Anyway, graphic novels, really only one to check out this week. And OG, I think this is one has your name on it.
Uh-oh.
Written by Bruce Jones. It's called Batman Through the Looking Glass with art by Sam Keith.
Oh, yeah, I need that.
Twinkle, twinkle, little bat, how I wonder what you're at.
Aww.
The catch line on the back. Batman in the Wonderland setting.
Right.
Well, I don't think I need to say anymore.
Nope, I'm down.
Because if I didn't get you at Sam Keith art or Batman in the Wonderland, I'm not going to get you.
No.
Hardcover, going to run you $22.99 from DC. It's actually a terrific story. This is the kind of stuff I'd like to see. I like to see in a single hardcover edition.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd pay $23
sure
for this book as opposed to, you know,
something
say,
else.
Marvel things of equivalent nature.
Right.
That I would wait for a softcover trade.
Well, you're just cheaper. A hater.
I'm not a hater.
I'm teasing you.
I'm just saying I know a good product when I see it versus a product intended to make me buy other products.
I'm teasing you.
Geek stuff, product reviews.
In this show tonight.
Yeah,
and there's a lot in this upcoming segment.
You got to get through a whole bunch of stuff. Why don't you do yours first?
All right. So while we were gone.
That's like the. Hey, by the way, you know, one of the things that we're doing, and I guess we're not starting it this week.
No, I don't. No, we're not starting this week.
But we are going to be starting, if there is something that we didn't talk, that happened while we were off the air that we didn't get to talk about or discuss or have an opinion about, and you'd like to hear what our discussion would have been or will be, or our opinion about it if we experienced it, or our thoughts on the topic, you can give the GVM line a call.
425-920-6050.
And leave us a message and tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about from the past 7-odd months that we may have not have discussed.
Right.
And then in a couple of, we're going to pick a few good ones. We're going to let a few of them build up there and then we're going to pick a few good ones and then we'll start addressing them. We might do one a week for a couple of weeks.
Sure.
You know, just to address some of the key issues that happened while we were gone.
Real quick, since you're bringing up things that we're going to address
sure.
in the future.
Yes.
Just a quick side. A couple of you have asked, I think in February, we're going to start back up the peg warmer of the month.
Oh, we are
a bit.
Okay,
but we will talk about that probably next week or the following week. We'll go through the rules and what you have to do.
And speaking of redos and so on and so forth, we didn't mention game stuff.
Oh yeah, well
that played out of the break.
That's right.
So welcome back to game stuff. Is it super game stuff or
no,
is it just game stuff?
Super game stuff is the
long elongated
long form standalone.
Yes,
this is just.
Game stuff. Gotcha.
And he did a great review of the Old Republic, which I don't play because God knows I don't have any time. And you don't play because...
Well, I will be playing.
When they eventually release it for a Mac?
No. No, I'm going to boot camp. I'm going to boot camp my machine.
Oh, to be able to
put Windows on and play. I'm not waiting. God knows how long that's going to be. Do you read our Facebook page?
I saw.
I don't know who posted that and then wrote idiots, but they were right on the mark. That's a genius, whoever posted that. I'm just saying. You know, you can check us out on Facebook.
Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff.
And you can like us there and so on and so forth. Absolutely. You can, don't we have some other things like that?
Sure. You can check us out at Twitter at BKGeekStuff. And I'm over there at GeekStuffOG. Our YouTube channel is YouTube. BK Geek Stuff is the account over there.
And is Production Tim walking the earth?
You know, I got a text from Production Tim. I think it was last week, and it was like, "Hey, I've got 13 minutes tomorrow. If you want to film some stuff, and then I'm off to Zimbabwe again." And I was like, "Tim, I'd love to, but we're gonna have to." Put that on pause till the next time you get back. It was a little it's a little tight right now.
That's
but we
fine.
Are going to get back into
the
studio V's. Not to mention that we're going to hopefully hit up a couple shows this year and maybe mm-hmm. do some filming at a couple of shows, and there'll be some fun stuff going on.
There's also a theory that by the end of this year, the program that you're hearing right now could be like a video
poppycock
thing as well. I'm just saying there's rumors.
Unless Mr. Fantastic is coming back.
Wow. Hold my breath waiting for that one.
All right, let's roll on. While we were gone, the folks over at Toy Break and October Toys, via the message boards, of which we are a part of course, got this project. It's a Kickstarter project that they got going together. For those of us who were fans of Muscle Men.
Those are the little plastic dudes, all one color.
Like a little pink or like flesh tone.
Fleshy.
You remember? Yeah. And they were like.
Wrestlers.
The ones I remember were like, there was like the luchador looking one, but there was like, I think there was a bunch of them. There
were
like some monster
200 of them
ones.
Or something.
Yeah, it was like a billion of them.
I never understood the appeal.
Really? Oh,
no,
I had, I think I had a barrel of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You just dump them out on the floor. Yeah. They fought battle beasts. Nothing. Army men. All the
battle
same
beasts.
Scale, more or less.
I remember battle beasts.
Anyway,
I liked Army Men, too.
For those of you who are a fan of that, what they did over there is they started a thread where they were taking submissions from people to do these Muscle Men-type figures, a new line of Muscle Men-type figures. They were the OMFG, which stood for Outlandish Mini Figure Guys.
Because usually it stands for Oh My God.
Right, exactly. Where are we? Are we censored now?
What happened there?
Who's doing that? We've never been censored before.
There is a rogue element in the production of this program.
I'm pretty positive we've cussed profusely on this show before.
Who? Probably the same person that interrupted you with that D&D stuff.
Yeah, bastards. Anyway, so the Kickstarter project did very well. Some of these are still available through some various sites. But there were five figures in the set. It was the Crawdad Kid, King Caster, the Phantom Shithouse. Well, that one got through.
Maybe they're just censoring me. Oh. Wait, let me try something. What the hell?
Multi-skull and Stroll. I don't think that I remembered. Stroll, for those of you who follow or check out Spanky Stokes website, that's his little mascot.
Oh.
Is the Stroll. But anyway, it's a great series of figures. Each one designed by someone on the message boards, sculpted by people involved in the message boards as well. You can still check out some of these online. I'll put some links up for you. But if you are a fan of Muscle Men, it would benefit you to grab these if you can. And go over to the October Toys message boards, and maybe you can submit a design for Series 2. They're working
on that. Oh, they're going to do Series
2?
Right.
Oh, absolutely. This was a huge success. Huge success.
Ooh. I have also a vinyl toy to talk about this evening. Slightly different than yours.
Oodle-lolly.
This is the Blox, B-L-O-X, vinyl with an edge.
I see.
It's put out by our friends over at Funko, www.funko.com.
Right.
And this is basically, it's their DC Universe line. And the one we have, of course, is the Joker.
Of course.
Now, how would you describe this, OG?
It's kind of like... I don't know. It's kind of like if you blew up a Mini-Mate and took the rounded, edged it out.
I already have to cut you off. why would you bring mini mates into this
because,
at all?
Because it feels kind of like that a little bit. Although it's not a generic design. It's clearly unique to the Joker.
Right.
The sculpt is clearly unique to the Joker.
Right. It has right angles.
Right.
Everywhere. It stands about, what'd you say? That was about 5 inches or so.
That's the most impressive part of that.
That it's enormous.
It's huge.
Yeah. Enormous size. And it's basically, it's kind of like if you took a really stylized Joker figure that was 5 inches and you like rollered over him with like a pizza roller, like a dough roller.
Speaking of pizza roller and dough roller, I like how he has the judge's eyes from Roger Rabbit.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And but he does have some features like the nose and the eyes are extensions. The tie, the flower.
I like that it's not flat, that it actually has, some elements
some
of depth.
Elements
to
of
it.
Depth. Yeah,
yeah. I like that.
Really interesting piece. There's 4 in the line.
No points of articulation.
No points of articulation. There's a number 2 on the. Oh, maybe he's number 2 in the set. That's
yeah, there's 4 in the first wave.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Correct. It's Batman, Green Lantern, Superman, and the Joker,
right.
Of course.
When is Green Arrow?
Probably never.
A question we all want to know.
Green Arrow does not get no place.
Hey, they have, what's the other Funko line? The Pop Heroes?
Yeah.
There's a Green Arrow in that line.
What was that, series 4 or 5?
It doesn't matter.
It's when they're right down at the bottom
of
the barrel.
Sir, I can't find one.
Right.
He's selling out.
It's probably because they didn't produce many because they didn't think he would sell.
Oh, he does.
Right at the bottom of the barrel where the scuzz is, that's where you'll find the...
That's terrible.
I'm just saying.
That's terrible.
They're going to run you about $20, which is okay for a vinyl figure that's 5 inches tall or taller. Mm. No, you don't like it?
Honestly?
Well, let's be honest. It's not thin either. It's thick. It's a heavy piece. But that's not the problem. The problem is that, not problem, but that's not the issue. I think the issue is that it's a DC licensed piece.
Okay, but the Pop ones, which are not 6 inches, I recognize that.
Uh-huh.
But those are only 10.
Right.
I honestly, I think 20 is too much. I would pay 15.
Okay.
I think 20 is too much. But
well, you shan't have it then.
Well, if there's a Green Arrow, I might.
Oh, you'd pay 20 for that one.
I might bend.
See?
I've been known to bend.
See?
But overall, in all seriousness, and overall, I think $20 is a little too much for that.
Let's,
that's my opinion.
Let's talk about our final product tonight. And we're actually only teasing this product because next week, we're actually going to be reviewing this product, and we will be one of the first people reviewing this product.
Before we tease this product, should we go to the news story that we do we want to put that
in? Let's let it come naturally up in here.
All right, I was just going to mention
Lucasfilm has announced the discovery of the Book of Sith, Secrets from the Dark Side.
Now, this is a follow-up to, what was that other book?
The Jedi Path.
Jedi Path, right.
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 And the super special, which the Jedi Path has now come out as sort of a regular sort of edition.
Right.
The one that came out initially, you might call the collector's edition.
Right.
Although they haven't specifically called it that. And remember when we talked about it, that it came in that wonderful case that was electronic, had lights and sound. When you press the button, the case kind of split, rose up, split open, and the book rose up from the middle, and there
was
light.
Mechanism.
Yeah, it was awesome. And inside was just kind of this little dink book with, like, and they made it really cute. It's all these Jedi, like the Jedi handbook, but they had all, like, notes written in it from all of the Jedi that we know from the films.
Right, right.
And there was, like, wasn't it like Obi-Wan's saber, like drawn on a napkin?
Yeah.
Like that he drew it on a napkin somewhere and stuck it in here.
Yeah, there was
and,
some cute stuff too.
Yeah, there
was
little
nice.
Bits of that. That one. And it was actually produced on a napkin. I mean, that was amazing. Yeah. There was amazing production value there. Well, now essentially what we're getting is the dark side version of that book.
The flip side of the coin.
Yeah. And it comes in the same sort, not the same, but a similar sort of mechanism.
Is this a holocron? Is that what
it's a holocron? Yeah,
right. And it's like a little pyramid looking box.
Sith crystal.
Yeah,
holocron.
And this also has lights and sounds, right?
Uh-huh.
You push a button and it opens up. It plays some music and it lights up. I think I was reading the press release. It's fancy.
Oh yeah, it's great. And it's got, and I think it's the same thing. I think it's gonna, it will probably have things in it from Sith that we may have known, you know, in the movies and so on and so forth. And but we're not going to get into the specifics other than we've already done. What we'd like you to do is go over to the website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, and you can check out two things. One, A preview video of the Book of the Sith.
That's right.
OG, you're going to post that up there,
right?
I will
post that up there.
So you can check that out. And we also have an exclusive image.
That's correct.
That will also be available there as well. An image you will not see anywhere except Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's right.
So we're very happy to be part of that. And then I believe next week we will actually have the Dread Book of the Sith, Secrets of the Dark Side, in our hands, and we will be reviewing it on this program.
Now, do we know, did the author of the first book, did he work on this one as well?
I'm not sure.
Is it the same author?
Well, the author is the New York Times bestselling author, Daniel Wallace.
Right.
I do not know if Daniel Wallace did the Jedi.
I don't remember that. Well, you know what? We'll revisit that. We'll revisit that next week.
Yes. Good How's idea. Very good idea, sir. So that's a little tease for next week. But you, with the tease, you get it. You get exclusive imagery. Sure. You get a video. It's nice.
Yeah, nice. Very nice. All right. While we're talking about Star Wars, something we kind of overlooked in the news, but I wanted to bring up.
I blame myself.
Because I feel that this might be important, sort of. That much rumored, we thought it was dead, but not really, Star Wars live action TV show.
Yes.
Has a title now.
Still a rumor.
Underworld.
Yeah, thing. Well, this kind of goes along with the other rumors that it's about bounty hunters.
Well, this came from Rick McCallum, right?
Yep.
Who's a trusted Star Wars
He's the man.
Person. You know, he's the guy. If it comes from him...
He's the producer.
So, right. So here's what I have to say. Just because it has a title doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Exactly.
Because
and they
there
said
are
at least
budget issues.
Right. They said at least 2 to 3 more years.
That's correct.
Before it happens. Now, the other piece of information about that, of course, is that we understand that if this is actually true, we may get more information this summer at Star Wars Celebration 6.
That's right.
In Florida, which I will be attending.
Lovely.
Alone, because OG doesn't want to go.
That's right. Not that I don't want to go.
I just thought you were a fan.
I am a fan, but you know, just, I have other priorities.
Bring him.
Financial priorities.
Bring him. Bring him.
Can I sell him?
You probably have no financial problems.
Maybe I dress him up as Yoda. Get people to take pictures with him.
If you can get like per cheek pound pricing.
Yeah, I do good, right?
I'm saying. Yeah. Just shave that.
Meat up in here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right.
Tommy Wobbles.
There you go.
Yes, and with that, OG, let's take our final break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 234, full of Sith and vinegar.
What's up, everybody? It's Jay from the Masters of None podcast on Simply Syndicated and, of course, at mastersofnone.com. We've had some fine shows lately. Tell them what we've had, Art.
We've had some great celebrity interviews booked by yours truly with Danny Trejo and Jim Brewer.
Yes, of course, and we've also had the Poser's Guide to Canada as well as the wonderful Nerd Off Back to Future versus Star Wars that someone happened to win. That would be myself.
And, of course, lots of ego stroking and insults galore. We're the comedy podcast that doesn't suck. Check us out. We're the Masters of None.
What the fuck was that? Your sister has turned into a zombie.
Hey, gang, this is Bruce Campbell, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Ha ha!
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Go fuck yourself.
What the fuck was that? It's the Evil Dead!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 234, full of Sith and vinegar. Of course, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, brought to you by one of our fine sponsors, Superpower Collectibles.
Yeah, Superpower Collectibles. Go over there and check out their fine selection of Superpower Collectibles.
Really all collectibles. Sir.
Really, that's
statues.
True.
I mean, they carry all big name brands, a lot of statues, figures. It's a great website.
Oh, yeah.
Great sponsor of the show. And, of course, if you use coupon code BIGKEV during checkout, you're going to get $10 off a purchase of $50 or more.
Yeah, that's
10%
off.
20%.
20%. See, you're trying to screw me
20%
up. 20% off. Trying to make me look dumb. Like I don't know math.
Well, you don't, but
listen,
that's okay.
Listen, 20%, $10 off. That's like your shipping. You know, like free shipping. So it's not free shipping. It's $10 off, but still it could be like that. So let's say you're going to order some, you go over there, you find one thing you like, you do the thing, you do the ship and you get 20% off. Who's not going to do that one time? I've done that.
If you find something you like, or things that you like, several things.
Or for someone else.
Right, or for someone else. Of course, great gifts over there.
Yeah.
You spend $50, you're actually going to spend about $50.
Right.
I don't want to say exactly because
yeah,
you know, it'll be close.
Right.
Is what we're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
The new rewriter director for the Thor sequel is a man who's got some TV cred. So we can look forward to that. It's not Kevin Branagh.
Kenneth.
Isn't that what I said?
You said Kevin Branagh.
Really?
It's Kenneth.
Wow.
Sir.
Yes, it is Kenneth Branagh.
A little we tired, also, sir. A little yeah. out of it.
Sherlock Holmes also will be the villain in Star Trek 2.
I'm trying to think if Sherlock Holmes actually appeared in an original episode, because that would be really funny. So many of those weirdo characters did, like Abe Lincoln.
Right, right.
And, you know, like weird characters like that. I don't think Sherlock Holmes.
No Sherlock Holmes?
No, I think they saved Sherlock Holmes for the next generation.
Right.
Where Data fought Dr. Moriarty, created by the computer, but not the original series.
Also, we talked about Evil Dead, the remake, finally getting some casting. Blech. And of course, don't forget, January 15th at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on
yes.
the Travel Channel, Toy Hunters. Don't forget yeah. to check it out. And actually, if you check it out, why don't you let us know what you think of the show?
Yeah,
send
definitely.
Send us an email, leave a message on the GVM line.
425-920-6050. COG, that's how the bit works.
Oh, I didn't.
That's how it works. Also in the news this week, D&D announces, well, Wizards of the Coast announces Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition.
That's right.
And it's going to be a game of the people, by the people, for the people.
The people's dice.
Yes, that's it. It's the people's dice, the people's player's handbook. But yeah, so we're going to be part of that. We'll have more information about that, and a link will go up that you can tell Wizards of the Coast what you want to see in Dungeons & Dragons, and it might end up in there. I want to see halflings at the launch. I want to see drow at the launch. I want to see Grugak, the wild elves, at the launch. I want to see Eberron at the launch. Boy, do I ever want to see that. Yeah, but you'll be able to take part in that.
In DVDs this week, really the only one to really focus on, Boardwalk Empire, the complete first season, and I would say G.I. Joe Season 2, Volume 1.
If you haven't bought the complete,
right.
because if you're a fan,
yeah,
you've
actually,
bought the complete.
You know who put that out?
Who?
Shout Factory.
Yeah.
The same people that put out the complete Transformers.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Remember, they were only available, the completes were only available at San Diego, remember?
Yeah.
And we were debating whether buying G.I. Joe or not.
I know. I bought that's and all right.
You bought Transformers.
I did buy Transformers.
But see, we should have bought that G.I. Joe. I said it then, and I say it now. In comics this week, we talked about nothing really exciting. X-Men Legacy 260.1. I think I might have forgot to say that earlier. I don't understand the .1 thing. So someone's going to have to explain it to me because I just don't know. X-Factor 230. X-Men and Wolverine in the X-Men, number 4. That one actually seems... I've read them. I don't know how they got there. I said that. I don't really know how they got there because I'm waiting for Schism, the trade, so
right.
I can figure it all out. But that's kind of where I'm at there. Captain America, number 7. Alan Davis doing the artwork there. That makes the book worth reading. And Ed Brubaker's a great writer, so it's good. And from DC, it's Batman and Robin, number 5. Not a terribly bad story, but the art is not so great. So if you're reading it, you'll understand. Hopefully, Peter Tomasi's the writer. And Patrick Gleason, I think, should be replaced, perhaps, by someone a tad more dynamic.
Okay.
And speaking of dynamic, check out Bruce Jones' Batman Through the Looking Glass with art by our friend, Sam Keith.
And not accepted.
Hardcover trade edition. It's one story in the hardcover. Can you believe Sam Keith on Batman?
Love it.
You know what? I think this has a lot to do with the fact that the Sam Keith black and white statue is coming out.
Yes.
Very soon.
Yeah.
That Batman
one, that
black
might
and white.
Be one that I actually have to...
Yeah? Break down?
I might consider. Might.
No.
Tough.
I have them all.
I don't got a lot of room.
I don't. I know.
I'm running.
I know. I've seen your collection, sir.
Running out of room.
It's tight. It may be time for a house.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm just saying.
Maybe.
I'm just saying. And
in
also,
product.
In product, yes. We talked about from Funko.com. Check out Blocks, Final with an Edge. Their DC Universe collection, four figures in the line, Batman, Green Lantern, Superman, and the Joker. We had the Joker here. They run about $20. They're big, giant, heavy, vinyl, flat, stylized things, and they're cool.
Also from October Toys, we talked about the OMFG Outlandish minifigure guys out this week, reminiscent of the old Muscle Men of yore. Again, you can grab some of these still. Check out octobertoys.com for more information on the sites still available that have them, and check out the message boards over there on how to participate in series 2. Maybe you can submit a design that makes it to the end.
Speaking of message boards, do we have them?
We do. Also over at octobertoys.com, we share a space on the message boards. Of course, if you go to bigkevsgeekstuff.com, there's a link to the message boards, and in each and every week's show post, a link to that particular episode post.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. The other thing is, are you doing the picture track, OG?
I am doing the picture track.
You know, one of the things that we enjoy is if you're listening on your... Now, let me see if I get all the devices correct now. iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, iPad 2, iTunes. Probably I'm missing some. But anything that will allow you to see sort of the album artwork when you're listening to music, you can actually see... images related to what we're talking about right as we're talking about them on those devices.
It is
a technology that we really enjoy, and we think it really adds something to this show that is not being added to other programs.
That's correct.
That's what I think.
Well, okay, you know, true.
So check that out. And what else do we have?
Of course, don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where, like we said, we have links to the message board, the photo galleries, the episodes. We have some blogs up there that I'm going to be working on mine again. Maybe Kev starts working on his.
I actually am going to be working on mine, yeah. Lovely. I actually am.
YouTube.com/BKGeekStuff, Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff, @BKGeekStuff. Over at Twitter, of course, I'm over there as well @GeekStuffOG, and of course, one
if
more
you're,
time.
If you're on Xbox 360, my handle is BigKevGS,
and if you're on the PlayStation Network, I'm OG Matt.
You know, you have an Xbox 360, but you're not online.
I do have an Xbox 360, and I have a problem with where I live and using that Xbox 360.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, the Xbox 360 that I have does not have Wi-Fi. And
you have to get the Wi-Fi mode.
Yeah, I don't have the... I have to get the
Wi-Fi. Oh, you can get it used at GameStop.
Yeah, they're like $20 or $30.
Something like that. Yeah. That's what I got.
Yeah, no, I'll get one of them.
Okay.
I got a lot going on.
If you play Battle Pirates on Facebook,
right,
I am also Big Kev GM.
Oh, well, there you go.
And soon, I will be on The Old Republic. And for those of you that have been listening to the show long enough to remember when we used to discuss Star Wars Galaxy...
Oh, Basil.
Yes. I will be reinstituting my character from then. I'm not going to give out the name now.
Oh, come on.
But once he's registered and set and up and running, then I will give out the name and I will tell you what server I'm playing. I will have
at
least...
Are you going to do all of the names?
All of the names?
Well, you had a couple
there were
different
two.
Characters.
There were two.
Right.
There was one.
Right.
And then there was
the other one.
Yeah,
right.
I had two. This one, I have committed to playing with fans of this program and other people, I'm sure, across 5 or 6 different servers. So I'm guessing there's going to be that character on several different servers in several different forms.
Right. Okay, great.
So I don't know how I'm going to break that out yet.
Right.
But they will all be... And there is something about the fact that if you play to a certain level, your character gains a last name. And
oh, really?
Then all your characters after that will have this name or something like a clan name or something. I don't know. I have to ask about that because I don't know how that works.
Funny.
But I want to actually do that, you know.
I miss that.
You could come back, sir.
My cat's Rosemary and Thyme.
Yeah, I remember.
My Kadoo was Parsley.
Kadoo. Why don't you come back, sir? Why don't you come back? Old Republic.
I don't have the time.
It's not like you have to play every day. It's like an enjoyment.
You realize I'm operating on like 3 hours of sleep a night. I have a 7-month-old child.
Don't you have a wife?
I have 2 jobs.
Don't you have a wife? Why are you deflecting the wife question, sir?
I do have a wife.
Clearly.
But she's busy too.
I see.
She works 2 jobs as well. We're busy people.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Anyway.
I think you should find some time back there. I've said it.
I think we should.
And with that, OG, I will end this show, as we end all shows, by saying,
Good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
So long and thanks for all the fish. So sad that it should come to this. We try to warn you all, but oh dear. You may not share our intellect.